Well, happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. So good to be with you on this most celebration-filled day of the entire year for us as followers of Jesus. Well, the resurrection story today comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. And there's something interesting about the Gospel of Mark, and that's that while it's the shortest of the Gospels, it is the most filled with questions. All kinds of questions, question after question, keeps showing up all throughout the Gospel of Mark. And the resurrection story is no exception. As a matter of fact, the brief story, it's only 8 verses at the end of the Gospel of Mark, starts with a question. Mary and Salome are making their way to the tomb of Jesus because they're about to anoint his dead body. Something they had promised to do, something that was a part of their culture and their tradition. And as they're getting ready to go, a question strikes them. Who is going to roll away the stone that is in front of Jesus' tomb? It's a real question, a very legitimate question, by the way. Archaeologists suggest that the size of that stone in front of Jesus' tomb could easily have been 6 feet in diameter, and easily could have weighed between 1 and 2 tons. This was not a small stone. And not only that, but once it was moved into place, it fell into a groove that they cut out right in front of the tomb. So you could get it in there, but getting it back out of there was really a struggle. Certainly not something that just a couple of people were going to be able to do. It would have taken many people to move this stone. So this question is on their mind as they're making their way there. But they continue on. And as they get there, they are shocked to see that the entrance to the tomb is open. The stone has already been rolled away. And now another whole layer of questions comes into their mind. What's going on? So they step into the tomb, lowering their heads, and look inside. And inside is sitting a man in a white robe, but no Jesus. No Jesus. And this man in the white robe begins to speak to them, and he says, "Don't be alarmed." Right. There's a lot to be alarmed about here. But he goes on, "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Well, duh! They had just been there 2 days before. They had been there on Friday. They watched Jesus die. They know he's the one who was crucified. They saw him taken down from the cross, wrapped in cloths, put into this tomb, cold and dead, and watch the stone move in place of the entrance. So they knew all of this. But now there's a bunch of other questions. Starting with that middle thing that they said. He is risen? Wait a second, like risen from the dead? We saw him die. We know he was really dead. But you're saying that he has risen? How is that possible? Where is he? How could he be alive? Why isn't he here talking to us instead of you if he's alive? Are we sure we're in the right tomb? Hey, how do we know that you didn't take his body and hide it someplace else? How can we trust that you're actually telling us the truth? While none of these questions are laid out in the scriptural narrative that we read, I guarantee you these questions were asked, because these questions are the same questions that have been asked for 2,000 years. How is any of this possible? How could this happen? And just like that, another whole set of tombstones is rolled in front of them. Barriers to belief, doubt, questions, concerns, wonderings. And right into the midst of that, this stranger calls them to go further. Starting in verse 7, he says this, "But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." It's an invitation from this stranger based on the promise of Jesus, who said before that that is where he would go to meet them. And it brings up some more questions. These women disciples of Jesus hear this stranger tell them, "Go and tell the disciples." Which disciples? Oh, you mean the men. The men who aren't here. The men who bailed out in the Garden of Gethsemane, who scattered as soon as Jesus was arrested. Those men? Oh, and go tell Peter. Great. Peter, the leader of the disciples. The one who denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. We're going to go tell them about what's going on. So many questions. But thankfully, it all gets resolved in verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Oh, well, thanks for resolving all of that. Problem solved. This, by the way, is where the original Gospel of Mark ends. It ends there. Now, you might have your Bible open and be reading and be like, well, wait a second, there's verses that show up that follow there right after that. But you know what? There's an asterisk next to those verses. You know why? Because you go down to the bottom and it says, the earliest, most reliable manuscripts that we have and copies of the Gospel of Mark end at verse 8. Why? There's questions that are left. It feels like it's a giant question mark left at the end of Mark. But there's more verses that got added in later on. Why? Because people are uncomfortable with questions and leaving uncertainty. So some of the other disciples said, hey, you know what? Let's fill it in with some of what we know from some of the other gospels. Because they heard the other stories, the other gospel writers, they knew the other things that had happened. So they kind of filled in there. And if you'll notice the passages that you read from the rest of it there, it's like, oh, well, yeah, that sounds similar to what they say in Luke. And, oh, that sounds similar to what's said in the Gospel of Matthew. The other pieces are filling in the gaps there. But that's not where Mark ended it. Mark ended it with this cliffhanger, with this question, with all of these doubts, with all of this fear. He leaves it there. That's how uncomfortable they were and we are with unanswered questions, doubts, fears, and even skepticism. But the truth is this. The Gospel of Mark doesn't end with the questions. It ends with an invitation. An invitation from Jesus. An invitation that says, meet me in Galilee and bring all your questions and your doubts and your concerns and your wonderings and your shame. Bring them all with you. Just roll with it and come find me in Galilee. Just roll with it. When I was 17 years old, I owned a beat up 73 Chevy Nova. I had 4 bald tires, and they were always bald tires, and they blew out with some regularity, and I replaced them with other bald tires, with the cheapest tires that I could find at the gas station that could still legally be put on the car. $15 was about the most I ever spent for a replacement tire. And one day I was driving my beat up, bald tired car up to my folks' lake place, which was near Monticello. And as I was driving up Highway 94, about 3 miles from the exit that I needed to take, I heard the sound. I'd heard it many times before, so I knew exactly what had happened. pulled off into the side and said, all right, guess it's time to swap out another tire. Hopped out of the car, popped the trunk, pulled out the jack, pulled out the wrench, got it all set, propped it up, pulled off that old tire, went in to reach to pull out the spare tire. It was a tire. It was round. It was made of rubber. And it had no air in it. I pulled it out, and once I put it down, it was pretty obvious. It's like, this tire is not going to hold up anything. So now here I am. I'm on the side of the road. It's 3 miles to the exit where there's a gas station nearby. It was before cell phones. My folks didn't even have a phone up at their lake place. This was the Stone Age. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I waited for a little while. I thought maybe by leaning up against my car, somebody would notice and stop as I was sitting there. Nobody stopped. So I thought, well, I guess I've only got one choice. I got to roll this tire 3 miles to go get air put in it and then roll it back here and put it on my car. So I started rolling the tire down the side of the highway. Now, I couldn't roll it too fast because if it got out in front of me, it might go off into the ditch, or worse yet, it might roll right out into traffic. So I just kind of slowly nursed it along next to me, walking along the side of the road. I don't know how far I got. It couldn't have been more than a quarter of a mile because this was slow going. And finally, somebody saw me on the side of the road, had pity on me, pulled over and said, hey, looks like you got a problem. I said, yes, I need some air in my tire. Could you maybe give me a lift? He said, of course. Throw your tire in the back of the pickup truck, hopped in. He drove me up to the gas station, filled up the tire, brought me back, brought me around, dropped me off. As he dropped me off, I've got, I'm a poor high school kid. I got like $3 in my wallet. Here, thank you. He looked at me and said, put your money away. I'm just glad that I was there to be able to help you and get you where you needed to go. Sometimes you just gotta roll with it. You're not sure what the outcome's gonna be. You're not positive of how it all figures out, but you just gotta roll with it. Listen, people have doubts. People have real honest questions. The story of the first Easter isn't crystal clear for us in the Gospel of Mark, but that's not the end of the story. There's an invitation to go on. And even through all of that doubt and that wondering, that shame, that disappointment, that skepticism, even that cynicism, Jesus is still inviting his disciples to come on. And you know what? They did meet him up in Galilee. You know how I know? Because we're all sitting here. We wouldn't be here if they didn't take their doubts and their wonderings and their concerns and decide to trust in Jesus and his invitation to follow him to Galilee and to find him there. That's where Jesus invites you today too. With all of your doubts and your concerns and your disappointments and your fears and your shame. All of those giant stones that you feel like there's no possible way that Jesus could deal with this, and certainly no way that I can deal with it. You got to trust the one who moves stones, who rolls them away from the front of the tomb. Jesus is big enough to handle the biggest stones in your life, and he's not afraid of them. And it doesn't disqualify you from following him to have doubts and wonderings. He says, just bring them with, just roll with it, and then roll with me. But come out and meet me in Galilee. Don't stay at the tomb. Because it's so easy for us to just stay at the tomb in our fear and doubt and questions and disappointment and shame and hope that somebody will come along and just roll the stone back in front of it and leave us there. You don't have to, dearly beloved, brothers and sisters. There is a whole eternal life that Jesus is beckoning you to, but it's out there. It's out in Galilee. You notice that Jesus doesn't invite his disciples to meet him at the temple or to meet him in the synagogue. And that brings me to one more challenge that I want to give to you today, brothers and sisters. Many of you have been churchgoers your whole life. Maybe you've been coming to this church your whole life. And maybe coming to a worship service has become kind of routine. It's just the thing that you do. You get up on Sunday and you come here and you spend an hour and you go, okay, that was good. Then you leave and you go right back to life and you're not even looking for where Jesus might be at work. Friends, sometimes in the routines of life, we can come into church and let it be just another thing that we do, and these four walls can become a tomb. When Jesus is calling you out into new life, life that is out there in Galilee, life that's out there in White Bear Lake and Maplewood and North St. Paul and even Hugo. He's calling you out into a new life. Now listen, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying stop coming to church. I'm just saying don't let church be the last place that you go on your discipleship journey. Keep coming, but then keep going out to Galilee where Jesus is. And bring all your doubts and your disappointments and your wonderings with you. Because guess what? What the world doesn't need is a bunch of know-it-alls who show up with all the answers and quick answers to all of their problems and acting like they've got it all figured out and have it all together. That's certainly not what they need. What they need is people who will genuinely follow this Jesus, trust in this Jesus with all of their doubts, with all of their problems, meet them where they're at, and when they look at you, you can go, yeah, you know what? I got some of the same doubts and problems myself, but I met this Jesus, and this Jesus keeps calling me into new life, and it's amazing, and it's transforming my life, and it's changing me in ways that I can't possibly change myself. And he's rolled away stones out of my way that I never could have moved myself. He's doing it. And I know that if he would do it for somebody like me with all of my doubt, with all of my shame, with all of my sin, he will do it for you too. And he'll call you into that new life. Our journey starts at the tomb, but it can't end there. It goes out into new life. Bring your doubts, bring your questions, bring your fears and failures, bring your skepticism and cynicism. Just roll with it and trust in the one who rolls away stones so that you can roll with him into the most amazing adventure of your eternal life. He is risen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Let's roll with him and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we trust in your story. We trust in your love. We trust in what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We trust that in his death, our sins were paid for. And we trust that in his call to eternal life through his resurrection, we are called to eternal life as well. Lord, call us out from this place, out into the world, so that we can see others, and when we see others, we see you, Jesus. That's what your word tells us. We see you when we bring the glass of water to the person who is thirsty, when we clothe that person who is naked, when we visit that person who's in the hospital or who is in prison or wherever they might be, in prisons of their own mind and heart. Lord, when we meet people there, we meet you there, Jesus. And you promise to do the same things that you have always done, which is to set people free, to give people life, and to call them into eternity. We want to see miracles, Jesus. That means we have to be willing to go out and meet you in Galilee where you were always doing miracles before, and you promised to do them again. Jesus, help us to meet you there. We trust you as you roll away the stones and as we roll into life with you. We pray this now, Jesus, in your mighty, living, an abundant name. Amen and amen.